Praise God for the cross, the price that was paid there for us. I was thinking about my prayer before I share some thoughts with you, that we just need to be reminded of the wonderful blessing that the resurrection is to us. But it came to me that I'm going to pray for Hallie today. She's got grandparents here. She's got great-grandparents here. She's got an aunt here. And thank you for praying for her. I just have to think she's one of the most prayed-for babies around that's been. And I don't know what all God's going to do with her life, but I just, on this resurrection day, I want to pray Jesus' special touch. He loves children. He loves babies. And then ask him to guide us. We just share some thoughts here this morning. Heavenly Father, you, Caleb and Connor, had no idea what they were going to walk through, but you knew. And this little baby Hallie, we bring before you again today, praying you touch her life, touch the need. Thank you for those that have tended to her that have done it with so much care. But above all, Lord, we again today put her in your hands for your work of grace, for what you purpose and what you have planned for her life. Lord, we are so blessed to know you, Lord Jesus, to know that you're alive. And I just pray, as some thoughts are shared here, that it would be used by your Spirit. I'm so grateful. Father, nothing is hidden from your understanding, and you know right where every single one of us is, what our needs are, what we are grappling with, or what we are repraising with. Just please use your word to minister, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 was talking to a church there that there were those, some of those that did not believe in the resurrection. And in fact, in verse 20, or he's, in one of the verses, he says, "How say some of you among you that there's no resurrection?" He goes on to share how that it would be a really sad thing if Christ was not risen. But in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." It's thinking about John in Revelation chapter 1. He got to see the glory of the resurrected Christ, and he described what that's like. He fell at his feet as dead. Jesus laid his hands on him and said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. Amen." Just brought back to mind hearing Vance Havner years ago say that he stood before a group of young people, I think students, and he said, "I want to talk to you today about a man that lived before he died and died before he lived, and I talked with him this morning." And he went on to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But the blessing of the resurrection is to live and rejoice in the reality of the living Christ that lives in those that have put their trust in him. He lives in believers, looking forward to that day when we forever will live in his presence. So I want to just share a few things of the blessings that are ours today because of the resurrection. And I guess, first of all, I would just share that it validates everything that Jesus said. And I'll read just a few verses out of 1 Corinthians 15 as he was speaking to them about and sharing what the gospel is. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received and wherein you stand, by which you also are saved, if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he died for us. Second, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Then he goes on saying, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that he was seen above 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And then he says after that, he was seen of James and the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. It validates exactly what he had been saying. And you know, at the cross, there were those that just taunted him. Come down from the cross. You said if they destroy this temple, that you'll raise it in 3 days. And the truth is, sometimes God waits to validate and to vindicate what the truth is. Indeed, he is alive. He was seen. Second blessing that I just want to share is that the living Christ lives in me, lives in you as believers. And that's the message Jesus was preparing his own in John 14. And I just share a couple reminders from that wonderful time that he's sharing. And you know, he began it by saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. And talked about one day preparing a place and that we would be with him. But in that 14th chapter, he goes on and says, and basically what he's doing is saying, we've been together. I've been here to comfort you. I've been here to work with you, to teach you, to show you how to live. And I'm going away. But he said, a better thing is going to happen. And he says, if I go away, I'm going to ask the Father and he'll send you another comforter. But there's several things he says in that 14th chapter that are so important for us. He said, in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He later on then says that if you love me and keep my commandments, I am going to manifest myself to you. In verse 21, he says, he that loveth me, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And so if I could just kind of boil it down, what Jesus is saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to go away. They had such a blessing walking with Jesus and watching him and learning from him. But he said, a better thing is coming. I'm going to go, and the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit, and in his person, I'm going to come, and I'm going to live in you. So we're not going to be limited by you being just right here with me, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I'm going to live in you, and I'm going to live through you. And that's a blessing to have the resurrected Jesus Christ, not only with us, but in us. And that's just based on his own word. He goes on in the 15th chapter then to talk about abiding in him and him in us. And I trust that's a relationship that has to be accepted by faith. You accept it because it is his word, it is what he said he would do, and there will be times when it's so real to you, but it's very important to know, I will not leave you. I will be with you. The third thing I would say as a blessing is the power of the resurrection. In Romans 8, Paul wrote this, but the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. He makes it real clear that the power of God was manifest by the Holy Spirit in raising him from the dead. And Paul said in Philippians, You know, he had grown up very religious, but he was fighting against Jesus Christ until one day he met Jesus Christ on the road to go and persecute more Christians. And then in Philippians, he said, all that was so important to me, all that I counted on, being a religious Jew, he said, I'm tossing it all away for just knowing the Lord Jesus, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He wanted to know more and more about the power of the resurrection. And I would just remind you what a wonderful prayer he prayed for the Ephesian believers about that power that's available and in us and for us. It's in, as soon as I get there, Ephesians chapter 1. He says, he's praying for them, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he prays, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be opened or enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance. And then he says this, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Let me just remind you what he's saying. These Ephesian believers, many of them had come out of occult lives, and they'd burned their witchcraft books and all that. They came out of a life where they now knew Christ, and he shares with them in chapter 1, in the beginning of chapter 1, that you now are identified. If you accept him, you're identified with him. But one of the special things he wanted them to know, that the power of the resurrection, what it took for the Spirit of God to raise Jesus Christ to life, not only to be alive, but to seat him at the right hand of God. And I take note, he says, far above every kind of power, every kind of other authority that there is, that power is available to you. And I think it's important to understand what that's all about. It's the power by God's Spirit. It's a quiet power. It's a power to endure through difficulties. It's a power to continue to have hope in the midst of, without him, could be hopeless. The power to be able to display Christ to others, I think, is 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul talks about that God has shined in our hearts so that we can shine out to others. And he talks about that being in these earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is him. The power is not in us to somehow magnify us. The power is in us to live in victory. You may be in a situation where those around you don't believe, but just know that the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and empowers you to walk in a way that honors the Lord. I would say that our part in knowing that, that's a wonderful thing to know, but our part is to give the go-ahead to the Holy Spirit. And I think Romans 12, to me, is one of the very special ways we need to do that. Paul in Romans 12 said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he goes on to say that you may prove in practice all that's good and right and of God. So to me, Paul's plea there is, Give your bodies to him. Present them to him. Remember in 1 Corinthians, he said, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He's come to live in us. And Jesus lives us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's hard to perceive of, but he said, my Father will come, I will come, person of the Spirit. We need to yield ourselves to him to allow to do what he wants to do in our life. And you know that I think James said it right in that verse, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I think as we even daily say, Lord, I belong to you. Just have me and do what you want to do. And the power of the Holy Spirit is in us to do that. He'll cause you to be able to share Christ with those that come along your path, to be able to live in victory, to be able to live a testimony before those that don't believe and maybe are not yet yielding to him. So Paul said, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection in my daily life. And that's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that I think is such a blessing is the assurance of our resurrection as we look forward. In 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul said, now Christ is risen from the dead, and he's become the first fruits of them that slept. And what that means is the first fruits taken in a farmer, a crop, the first part, it's the rest of the crop is like it. And so he's saying we're going to have a resurrection like his. We're going to, when we meet him, we're going to have a new body. We're going to have a resurrected body like he has. John said it this way in 1 John 3. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is, and we will be like him. We struggle, some people do better with this body on this side of glory than others, but comes a time it doesn't do so well. But the assurance is, when he shall appear, we're going to be like him. We're going to have a new body. And that's something not for time, that's for eternity. And so, to me, some of the blessing of the resurrection, of course, that Jesus Christ is alive and with us today, and we praise him for that, but it validated everything that he had said. He lives in me. He lives in you. Everyone that's put their trust in Jesus Christ, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spirit is reborn. The Spirit of God comes to live in you. What a wonderful thing. We have to accept that by faith. And then the power of the resurrection is available to us just to live victory, whatever course the Lord takes us through and whatever experiences he takes us through. And then to look forward to that day when we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Lord Jesus, today I just want to thank you. Thank you that you are willing to obey your Father, to come in such an undefinable way as a baby in our midst, to grow up in our midst, and then as a God-man to be our sin sacrifice. But then by the power of the Spirit, raised up to life to live evermore as our living Savior, we want to thank you today. And we thank you that because you live, we can live with joy and anticipation, with your life being lived out through us. I guess my prayer here today, Lord, is if any have not opened their heart to accept you, to believe you, oh God, don't let them miss the joy not only of time, but eternity. And then, Lord, if there is a need for us to yield ourselves to the work of your Spirit, maybe we've believed on you, but we've held back, that we would, according to Romans 12, yield our bodies to you, Spirit of God, to live out through us the living Christ. Thank you for what you've done for us, what you are for us. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.